The Meeting Point, Wednesdays and Thursdays, 8 to 10 p.m. only on SAFM. The Meeting Point on SAFM.
It is The Meeting Point on SAFM. If you've just joined us, welcome. Now, last night on the show, we spoke about the COVID-19 pandemic and how it had a tremendous impact on society in general. We spoke specifically about the impact the pandemic has had on lectures on indigenous languages at institutions of higher learning. What we've also seen is how other illnesses have taken somewhat of a back seat as the world was and to some extent still consumed by the COVID-19 pandemic. Here's a question. When was the last time you heard of a campaign around HIV/AIDS, TB or malaria? Not hearing from them, of course, doesn't mean that the world has somewhat managed to eliminate these. If anything, a whole lot more needs to be done. And that is exactly what happened. I think it was just yesterday where there was a pledging conference in the U.S. for global funds to fight HIV/AIDS, tuberculosis and malaria, raising more than $14.25 billion. Money that goes to a good cause, money that is important in fighting specifically malaria, which is our focus for this evening, in conversation with CEO of Goodbye Malaria and Global Fund board member Sherwin Charles. Sherwin, thank you very much for making time. Good evening.
Thank you so much, Koketo. Thanks for having me on from a very rainy New York.
A very rainy New York, where in as much as there is rain in my culture, Sherwin, rain means good blessings. And I suppose one can celebrate the achievement of being able to raise this money in the fight against malaria and how it's going to help all of us, as particularly those on the continent.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was a momentous occasion. As you said, it's a record-breaking 14.25 million. And given the environment we find ourselves in, where we've got a war in Ukraine, we're coming out of a terrible pandemic, and we're finding economies that are facing high inflation and recession, for us to be able to achieve this was pretty remarkable. I think it's important to note that the UK and Italy have not yet announced their commitments to the Global Fund as yet. So we've got to the $14.25 billion, but that is before adding in those two commitments. And we're expecting that then to hopefully take us closer to the $16 billion mark.
Yeah, that is incredible. Sherwin, of course, you've mentioned, you know, what's happening in terms of geopolitics, the impact on the world economy, everything that's going on. But I was making reference to how, with the focus, and rightfully so, on the COVID-19 pandemic over the past 3 odd years, if you will, other illnesses and other causes have had to almost take a bit of a step back. What has it been like for yourselves as Goodbye Malaria over the past 2-3 years when it comes to this important need to continue raising awareness around malaria?
Absolutely. I mean, malaria is a disease that if you do not address it, it comes back twice as fast and with a vengeance. And unfortunately, during the pandemic, we saw that the resources for malaria were diverted to fight COVID. We saw the collapse of supply chains, which has made it very, very difficult for us to get our commodities on time, both the commodities needed for vector control, that's fighting the mosquitoes, which is the like of bed nets and insecticide, to life-saving diagnostics and medication that the supply chains were not able to deliver. So one of the biggest challenges for us in the fight against malaria was ensuring that people have access to treatment.
Right. And those, of course, who in having access to treatment, I mean, we're in South Africa, of course, Southern Africa in particular, very much malaria endemic region. How severe is it? How much of an issue is it in Southern Africa, Sherwin?
It is a big issue to some of our neighbors more than others. So, for example, Mozambique would be in the top five highest burden disease countries in the world, and would have more than 11 million cases of malaria in a year. The same is applies to Angola, although they would not be in the top five. And then Botswana has been making good progress, but has stalled. Unfortunately, in South Africa, I think during COVID, we've seen a slight increase in cases. In the first year of COVID, because borders were closed, South Africa saw a big decline because most of the malaria in South Africa is imported. However, in Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and Northern KZN, we get local transmission of malaria.
Right.
If you look at the what they call the eliminating nine countries, so there's an expectation that in Southern Africa, we would have the first countries ever in Sub-Saharan Africa to eliminate malaria. We've seen over the last 2 years, sadly, an increase in the number of cases and not the decrease that we've seen since the year 2000.
And of course, this amount of money that has been pledged goes towards that drive to eliminate malaria. How do we go about that? Because some of us, you know, we've lived with malaria for so many years, for decades, and the idea of eliminating malaria sounds very exciting and seemingly possible.
So I think what you said is so important, right? We've lived with malaria. And so I think the first thing from our side is really to change behaviors and for people to believe that zero malaria starts with me. That if I change people's behavior and they accept that there are little things that they can do to assist, I think we will get over the line. We have the tools. We have ways to protect people from malaria. We now have a vaccine that's been approved. We have ways to easily diagnose malaria. So they have rapid tests that can diagnose malaria. And then, of course, we have effective medication. So in today's world, nobody should be dying from malaria. Nobody should be, no child under five should really be passing away from this devastating illness. Yet it is still probably the biggest killer on the continent of children under five. And I think that it's the implementation of the solutions that we have that is proving most challenging. Malaria is a disease of the poor. It's in the rural areas. It's in the war-torn areas of our continent. And that's where very little progress gets made. So I think for us, it's really to prove that we can get to elimination. So where Goodbye Malaria works in Mozambique, Eswatini, and South Africa, we're close. We've seen massive reduction in malaria, and we believe we can get to zero transmission in the next few years. And we think that would be a catalyst for us and our neighbors to show them at a district level that eradication of malaria is possible. It's not a magic wand. We're going to start one district at a time.
Yeah, it's not a magic wand, but there is the vaccine, as you mentioned, Sherwin, which if one looks at the overall debate around vaccines during the COVID-19 pandemic, there's been the question of accessibility, affordability, and who gets to make these vaccines. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the vaccine for malaria, where are we when it comes to that debate of accessibility, affordability, and production?
So I think production for the time being on this vaccine sits with GlaxoSmithKline, that's GSK. Yeah. So they would look at it and they're looking to pass on the IP to generic manufacturers. So there's a lot of expectation that the vaccine would be more cost-effective, readily available in Africa. I think the opportunity, though, coming out of COVID, is we've seen players like BioNTech, who've produced the COVID vaccine in a very short space of time. And what we've just seen from recent trials is that BioNTech and Oxford University could have a much improved vaccine ready for us in a shorter time that is easier to manufacture. And if you see the announcements made at the replenishment yesterday in New York that was hosted by President Biden, part of it was in support of local manufacture on the African continent. So it was highlighted, and there's a lot of support for it, and there will be money put behind that so that the commodities, the diagnostics, and the treatment that are needed for HIV, TB, and malaria will now get produced on the continent.
That is great news. And Sean, again, thank you very much for making time. Congratulations for what you're doing. And we will, of course, continue, as you said, making sure that we play our part in this whole journey of eliminating malaria. But thanks to you and the rest of the team for the work that you're doing. Much appreciated.
Thank you very, very much.
There's... Eugene there, but Sherwin, who is part and parcel of the Go Fight Malaria, and really, really incredible work that they're doing at Goodbye Malaria, and also a Global Fund board member there. Sherwin Charles is the person who was with us. Have you ever lived through malaria at all? I remember a couple of years ago, there's somebody that I knew who had malaria, and also having traveled in certain parts of the continent, being told to be aware and having to take certain injections and being conscious of what you're doing and which parts of the continent you travel. But have you lived through it and the possibility of eliminating a malaria as well? Your thoughts on this on 0614-104-107. Thanks to Charles, Sherwin Charles, the CEO of Goodbye Malaria and Global Fund board member. It is a meeting point on SAFM.